prayer. They have a dial-up prayer for atheists now. You can call up and it rings and rings, but nobody answers. And then here was something that someone prayed. The person prayed, "Lord, send your revival." Voice from heaven. "When revival comes, your church will be split, your financials will go bust, your projects may have to be shelved." The person prayed, "Lord, keep your revival." And then someone prayed, "Come down, Lord, in your mighty power." Zap! Someone in the church fell. The person prayed, "Hold on, Lord, not so fast." Amen. Well, we're so glad that you're here today. And how many love the Lord? Hallelujah. God is good. And we started a series last week called Praying to Get Results. You know, there's a lot of people that pray and they say different types of prayers, but they're not necessarily seeing the results. Amen. And we want our prayers to be effective, to be powerful, and to produce results. Amen. God wants to give you the desires of your heart, and he wants to manifest his strength and his power. And the way he does that is when his people pray. And what we're doing is we're looking at examples of people who had tremendous results of their prayers. And we're seeing what they did and what some of the results were. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah. And we're just going to touch a little bit on Nehemiah. We talked about him last week. But it's just so powerful. Because prayer is something that we all can do. And here's what it means to have effective prayer. Effective prayer must be a scripturally informed response. You can't pray effectively without the Word. Amen. You have to have the Word of God in order to pray effectively. And it's a scripturally informed response of persons that are saved by grace to the living God who can hear and answer on the basis of Christ's payment of the penalty which sinners deserved. As such, prayer involves several important aspects, and maybe next week we might get into some more of the aspects of what makes our prayers effective, what will produce good results. But in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, he was presented with a problem. How many has ever had a problem in life? Amen? You can have one of two responses. You could be in fear, doubt, and worry, or you could pray and get in faith. Amen? When things happen that you didn't plan on, that you didn't expect, you know, our response should be to pray. Amen? And to call upon the name of the Lord, because what you do first will determine what God will do next. Amen? And we know from being kids that if you were to catch on fire, what do they tell you to do? Stop, drop, and roll, right? Well, I'm going to change that a little bit. And when the devil turns up the heat, stop, drop, and pray. Amen? So we need to be people of prayer, and we need to see the results of our prayers. So Nehemiah heard the report that the wall was broken down in Jerusalem, and the gates were burned with fire, all right? And In verse 4, he says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept." Notice, he just heard the report of what was happening to his home city, to his stomping ground, to where he grew up, okay? "And I sat down and wept and mourned certain days." Everybody say days.
Days.
All right? He just didn't say a 5-minute prayer. But he spent days praying and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Notice, who's he praying to? He's praying to God, the God of heaven. Immediately, he begins to exalt God, not the problem. He heard the problem. He got the information of the problem, but he didn't stay with the problem. He began to magnify God. And if you want to have good results with your prayer, your prayers need to magnify God. They need to lift up the name of the Lord. Amen? You got to make God bigger than your problems. Too many times we make our problems bigger than God. And we get on the side, you know, we get into agreement with the enemy. The enemy, when a problem arises, he'll be like, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? He wants to get you into worry. He wants to get you into fear. He wants to get you, but when you begin to magnify God, the Bible says, let God arise. And what happens? The enemy scatter. The quickest way to shut the enemy up is to magnify God, is to lift up the name of the Lord. Amen? So what did Nehemiah do? He began to pray. And he began to pray, he began to call on God, and what were the results of his prayer? Do you think he got results? Well, he got favor with the king. The king supplied him with letters to travel from Shushan, if I can say that right, to Judah, and he also got letters from the king that provided him with all the lumber and the timber that he was going to need to build the gates and the walls and his home. So he had tremendous results with his prayers, all right? But when you start getting results with your prayers, the devil's not just going to lie down and say, okay, have your way. He is going to stand and oppose. He is going to stand in opposition. See, when God wants to move, he's looking for people to pray so that he can move, amen? But the devil will oppose, but guess what? Your prayers become a powerful weapon against the enemy, all right? Now, these are just some things that we learned from the life of Nehemiah. Prayer is a process by which you call upon the God of heaven for him to move in a situation, place, or person in the earth. Okay? Why didn't God just come down and start repairing the wall himself? You ever think about that? He didn't start moving until someone prayed. So that tells me that our prayers are extremely important, and God is listening to our prayers. All right. Another thing we learned from Nehemiah, that prayer becomes a powerful weapon when Satan tries to interfere with God's plan. Amen. He cannot do anything about your prayers. He can, at best, he can only delay, but he cannot stop. Amen. So that's good news for us, that we should be quick to pray. Amen. Because that brings God on the situation. When you have an emergency, a medical emergency, what do you call? Or a police emergency, what number do you call? 911, right? And upon the first occurrence of that emergency, that should be the first thing that you do is you call 911, amen? Well, if we can call 911 in the natural, shouldn't we be able to pray to God when a situation arises? Instead of letting our feelings and our emotions overwhelm us and the enemy tries to get us into a place where we're not going to be effective? Hey, man, you got to, instead of dialing 911, you can say J-E-S-U-S. Hallelujah. And, you know, your prayers don't have to be long. They can be short, and they're going to be powerful. When God puts something in your heart, and you begin to pursue it in prayer, you can rally the help necessary to carry out what God wants to do. What did Nehemiah do? He said, we're going to rebuild the wall. And he began to tell how God was already moving with the king. And then the people said, we're going to help you. Amen? It was all because of his prayer that he prayed. All right? Praise and prayer go hand to hand. Don't pray on one hand and complain about what you just prayed about, because if you complain, you're going to negate your prayer. Complaining and prayer is like oil and water. They don't mix. When you come to prayer, you're dealing with your complaints, and when you bring your complaints in prayer, don't mention the complaints again, just talk about the answer. Amen? All right. act on what you pray after you pray. When Nehemiah began to pray about rebuilding the walls, what did he have to do? He had to start building, right? So after you pray, expect to do what you prayed about. Amen? So you got to act on your prayers. And prayer answers opposition in a positive way. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did he say? It is written. And that was enough to stop the enemy working in that area. And all you have to do is just be able to respond in a positive way. All right? Now, let's go on today. All right? There's more that I could say about Nehemiah, but let's go on to Daniel. All right? And let's go to Daniel chapter 1. And Daniel, we find, was a man of prayer. We're going to see some things in the life of Daniel that are going to make the difference and let's go to Daniel chapter 1 verse 5. Alright, it says, and the king appointed them, these were people from the captivity, they were taken captive, they were brought to Babylon, and they're looking for some choice people who can be leaders in this kingdom. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which they drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What is in your heart? In order for you to have effective, powerful, result-producing prayer, you have to look at what's in your heart. Because your heart is the foundation from which effective prayer flows from. Okay? What is in your heart? Your heart will determine the kind of results you get in prayer or in anything you do for God. All right? What's in your heart? Your attitude, your motive, whether or not you have ought. All right? The purity of your heart, the integrity of your heart. How yielded is your heart? How willing is your heart? How sincere is your heart? What is in your heart will affect how you pray and the results that you get. Amen? What do we see about Daniel? There was something that he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to do. Let's just say that Nebuchadnezzar represents the world or the world system, okay? And he was brought into a foreign country not by choice, all right? He was actually taken captive, taken from his homeland into a foreign country, okay? And now the king is looking for he's looking for a few good men, amen? And Daniel and his friends fall into this category. And they're going to eat the food that the king prepares. But Daniel purposed, I'm not going to mix my heart with the world's way of doing things. I'm not going to let my heart become impure or unsincere or tainted with the world's attitude, with the world's motive. Amen? Because Sometimes, when a person in the entertainment business makes it big, they get corrupted because their heart is not in a place that can sustain them when they get there. We've got to talk about the heart if we're talking about effective prayer. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. And then we're going to go back to Daniel, but go to Romans chapter 10. How important is the heart in what you do for the Lord? You know, the Lord doesn't look at the outward action that you do. He actually looks to your heart. We know that when he was looking for a king to replace Saul, he wasn't looking for someone who had the stature and the build and the physique of a king. He was looking for someone who had a heart after God. And it was the heart that made the difference in the choice. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, where? In your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So does your heart have an effect on your confession? Absolutely. You can tell when someone is doing something not with their whole heart. You know, just think if I was a marathon runner. You would look at me and you would say, I don't think that guy's going to win. He doesn't have a heart to win. Okay? Notice verse 11. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, in other words, Daniel purposed to live his life out of his heart for God. He purposed to do certain actions out of his heart, and he wouldn't let his heart be defiled. Okay? And that's important in prayer. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. What kind of heart is God attracted to? And look at verse 22. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God draws an honest, sincere, pure heart to himself. Amen? You could mess up externally, but if you have a right heart, God will overlook your mess up. Because he's really looking at the heart. We've got to live from our heart. Amen? The Christian life should be lived inside out, not outside in. We want to make up the outside, you know? And sometimes people are really good at putting on masks. They look good on the outside, but inside, you know, Jesus said this. He told the Pharisees, he said, you were whitewashed tombstones. Man, your tombstone looks good. It's been power washed. It's been sprayed. But inside what? You're full of dead men's bones. The inside made the difference. Okay? And what kind of a heart produces results? Go with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to get into the prayer part. Just stay with me, amen? God's got a lot of things to show us. Okay? Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See, what kind of heart produces fruit? A good heart, one that keeps the word, one that keeps you steady, one that you got the right motive, you're living out of your heart. Once the Lord touches your heart, from your heart, you want to do what's right. From your heart, you want to serve him. From your heart, you want to worship him. The Bible says, worship the Lord with all your strength, all your soul, all your heart. What if I just give God part of your heart? You want just part of an answer? I'll give you part. God said, okay, I'll give you part. With the same measure you meet, I'll measure back to you. Right? So the basis for having powerful, effective, result-producing prayer is to have a right heart with God. All right? Okay? Let's go back to Daniel. Glory to God. What were the results of this action? Okay? Look at, go down to verse 15 of Daniel chapter 1, verse 15. What were the results of getting his heart right? And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. In other words, a right heart caused Daniel and his friends to excel above everybody else. All right? Now notice what happened. Go down to verse 18. So the guy took away their meat, all right? And God, verse 17, let's look at verse 17. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Do you think that gift resulted from a right heart? Absolutely. If Daniel would have let his heart be defiled, I don't know if God would have given the gifts that he gave. But it was in direct result of what he did in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And then verse 19. So now they stood before the king. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none. Everybody say none. Like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. Oh my goodness. Did you know that a right heart will give you access before the king? And when you have access before the king, you have the king's ear, you have the king's attention, you have the king's backing. Oh, hallelujah. It's so important to get our heart right. And you know what? Getting your heart right is just making a few adjustments. Recognizing that when you say or do something that is not godly, you're quick to repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. That was wrong. And you know what? When you're quick to repent, God is quick to forgive. He's quick to restore. He's quick to make things happen. Okay? Verse 20. And in all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Say 10 times better. What made him 10 times better? He wanted to get his heart right. He purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. He said, I'm in covenant with God. See, we're going to find out how much of a covenant of God that Daniel had. Okay? Oh, this is so powerful. You got to have a right heart. A wrong heart will not produce the results that you desire. The Bible says that if you bring an offering to the altar, and if you have aught in your heart with any, lay your gift at the altar and go and make it right, then bring your gift. Why? Because if you bring your gift with the wrong heart, you're not going to get the results that you want. A wrong heart will hinder the results that you get. The Bible wants us to get our heart right. And God, through his blood, through his forgiveness, the Bible says if you sin, he said, confess your sin, and what? He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So getting our heart right is not a hard thing. It's very easy. God has made provision for us to get our heart right. Don't act if your heart's not right. Why? Because then you're acting in the flesh. When you sow to the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption. When you sow to the Spirit, you reap life and peace. So sometimes we got to examine our hearts. Why are we doing what we do? Why do we serve where we serve? Why do we do what we do? We got to look at our attitude, our motive, all those things. All right? Okay, now, let's go to chapter 2. Now, the king had a dream. Okay? And all of his magicians said, "Tell us the dream." And he said, "I want you to give me the interpretation of the dream." They said, "Okay, tell us the dream, and I'll interpret, and you know, we'll interpret it for you." He says, "Tell me the dream." Now, it's almost impossible if someone doesn't tell you the dream to find out what the dream is about so that you can interpret it. But you know what? All things are possible to them that believe in God. When you're up against an impossibility, it's an opportunity for God to work. Okay? So, the king was going back and forth with his counselors, whatever, and now no one could give him the answer, so he was furious. He was going to have all the magicians killed. Okay? Go down to verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is this decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. See, Daniel had favor. Daniel had inside information. Okay? And then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of heaven, concerning this secret. They didn't know the answer, but they knew who knew the answer. They knew the person who knew the answer. What did Daniel do? He called a prayer meeting. They prayed, "Lord, that we desire mercy from God to show us the secret." There's nothing that God doesn't know. And he can reveal the hidden things that are secret, that are only known to individuals by his Holy Spirit, who knows everything. His Holy Spirit was here at creation. He'll bring you into all truth, even secret truth. So this is how powerful this is. So they're praying. They desired the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. So they prayed for God's mercy. They prayed that they wouldn't perish. Okay? Those are good prayers. Amen? Look at verse 19. Now we're going to see the results. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Notice that the secret wasn't revealed until he prayed. Amen? And he had a right heart in his prayer. So when you have a right heart, when you pray, you have confidence toward God. Confidence, knowing that God hears you and will answer you, even if it seems impossible. Hallelujah. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. When you get the answer, you ought to praise. Praise and prayer go hand in hand. Actually, praise is a high form of prayer. He didn't say, "I'm so smart," did he? He didn't say, "Look at me." No, he began to bless the God of heaven. Notice what he says. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Daniel didn't even claim any ownership to the wisdom that God gave him. He turned it up to God. And he changed the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise. knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you can talk to the God who reveals the deep and secret things? Amen. When you come up against a problem that you don't know what to do, how to do, where to do, you can call upon the God of heaven and he'll give you the answer. He'll show you the way. He'll show you what to do. That's how awesome it is. Glory to God. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Verse 23, I thank thee and I praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what was desired of you. For you have made known unto us the king's matter. Man, if we had some people that could pray like Daniel prayed, we could have some secrets of the White House revealed. Amen. Wasn't King the king of Persia? Daniel, he had just got accepted into the king's academy. He was a freshman in the king's academy. But he was someone who loved God. He was someone who had a right heart. He kept his heart pure. And he was someone who knew where to get the answers when the answers were unknown. Hallelujah. So he told Arioch, then Arioch brought Daniel before the king, and notice verse 25. Arioch says, I have found a man of the captives of Judah. You may be held captives, but your prayers are not. You may be a captive in a place, but that doesn't mean your prayers are held captive. You could be captive, you could be in chains, but you could still pray and see God do a mighty work. Hallelujah. He found a man of the captives that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret to which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. He takes this opportunity to witness to the king. He points them to the God of heaven. He said, there is a God of heaven who gives the answers. Not your magicians, not the world's way of doing things, not the fortune tellers, but there is a God who makes mysteries known. Glory to God. There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these. And so he prayer will get you answers from heaven. Hallelujah. Prayer makes the secrets known. Why? Because our God is all-knowing. There's nothing he doesn't know. Well, how come he doesn't tell me? Maybe you've never asked. Maybe you don't think that you're somebody that God can talk to. Listen, God loves to talk to you. Yes, you. I'm talking about you. Everybody in this room has access to the same God that Daniel had. Everybody in this room can go before the king. You can come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Every one of us. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done. Not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has done. We all have the same access to the God of heaven that Daniel had. Isn't that powerful? Though a person may be captive, their prayers are not. You might be in a bad situation. Well, if you want to change your situation, begin to pray. Get on your knees and fight like a man. Amen. Do your fighting in the heavenlies. Prayer releases power to promote out of captivity. Oh. I'm here, but I would like to be there, but but I don't know how to get here, and here is not a good place to be. Here is rough. Here is a bad situation. I don't like being here. Here stinks. What am I going to do? Well, you could call up 20 people and complain. You could have a complaining party. Yes, I'd like to tell you how bad here is. Oh, yes, I agree. It's so bad. Or you could begin to pray. And only when you pray, and you pray with the right heart, in line with God's word, will God begin to move. He'll begin to move circumstances, situations, and people. And you'll be like, woo, I got here from there. Here is much better. Prayer will move you from one place to another. So, now notice, go down to verse 46 of chapter 2. I want you to see the results of the prayer. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation or an offering, sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing you could reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man. Say, a great man. It was through his prayer that he got the promotion, because it is God who promotes. See, if you're trying to please the boss just to get promoted, you're a people pleaser. The Bible says that you ought to work as unto the Lord. You ought to please the Lord. Don't, you know, if you please the Lord, those in authority will recognize it. Because why? God holds the king, he holds the hearts of kings in his hands, and he can move on them when he wants. But your job, see, if you're trying to please a person, your heart's not right. Your focus is on people, not the Lord. Yeah, granted, that person may promote you because of his position, but will that promotion last if God didn't do it? If you get promoted with the wrong heart, you could be corrupted. So he made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and all because he prayed. There was only four people, Daniel and his three friends, that knew how to get a hold of God. Although they were a minority in number, they are a majority in results and power. Hallelujah. And chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Wow. Now, I love, look at the right heart, verse 49. Daniel requested of the king that, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat at the gate of the king. See, he never forgot his friends. He said, he shared his promotion with them because they shared his prayer. See, when you sow your time in prayer, God will give you a harvest. Hallelujah. Prayer was the key that released their captivity. How many know the story of Job? Okay? Let's go over to Job 42 quickly. All right, I want to show you something. You might be in a situation where you are captive, but you know what? Your prayer can change the captivity. Your prayer can open doors that were closed. Your prayer can move situations. Your prayer can move mountains. That is the power that you have at your fingertips. Okay? Job 42. And look at verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So through prayer, You can turn your captivity and you can restore your fortunes. Hallelujah. That is the power of prayer. That's what happened to Daniel. He prayed and no one knew the secret, but God gave it to Daniel. And with that revelation of one secret, he was made in charge over all the governors, over all the wise men in a heathen nation that he was once a captive of. He said, you might put my hands in chains, you might put my feet in chains, but my prayers are unchained. And my prayers can unlock these chains in a matter of minutes. Glory to God. Paul and Silas were in prison at the midnight hour after having been beaten. Now, those prisons were not like the prisons of today. They didn't have the nice luxuries that some of the prisoners have today. They were in the dungeon, midnight, in chains. What did they decide to do? They decided to pray and sing praises to the Lord. Were they silent? No. The Bible says that the other prisoners heard them. What happened when they got into their praising the Lord? Their chains fell off. So hallelujah, you might be in a captive situation, but through prayer, you can turn your captivity. You can restore your fortunes. You can get back what the devil stole from you. Hallelujah. All through prayer. One simple act of prayer. Prayer trusts in God alone. Not your ability, not your position, not your money, but in God alone. If you're trusting in anyone else, your prayers aren't going to work. Prayer has the power to change things. God rewards secret prayer openly. Only Daniel and his three friends were prayed. But when he got rewarded, it was openly. They got together where Daniel was staying at their house. They had a little prayer meeting. Oh Lord God, we thank you that we call upon the mercies of God. Why should you call upon the mercies? Because they're new every morning. Woo! Every day you got a new set of mercies that have been assigned to you. Every day we can reap the benefits of mercy, so they called upon the mercies of God. They said that we may not perish. And what happened? God revealed them the secret, and they got promoted. Glory to God. All right, let's go back to Daniel. And let's go to Daniel 6, and then I'm going to close for today. Now, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes that should be over the whole kingdom. Now, the kingdom of Persia was quite extensive. They covered a lot. And over these, over the 120 governors, there's going to be three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Everybody say first. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. If you're the last one, start praying and God will move you to the first position. Amen? Okay. Now, do you think Satan is going to like you getting promoted and having all this good stuff done? No. And so all of these governors had to report to Daniel and the two others to give account, and that the king should have no damage. So they were over the king's affairs. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king's The king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. The devil says, I'm not standing for this. We got to find an accusation. He is the accuser of the brethren. Okay? But they could find no occasion or fault. You know, when you live above reproach, when you walk in righteousness, when you live holy, the devil can't pin anything on you. Amen? It's better to live a clean, holy life and not, then he can't use your faults against you. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel did a good job. He did what was right. He had integrity. He could be trusted. All right, a lot like Joseph. Then these wise men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You're guilty of obeying God. I find you guilty of being a Christian. Guilty as charged. They could not find anything against David unless it concerned the law of God. Then these men, we shall not... verse 6. These presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors, blah, 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 have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The only thing that they could come up with is if anybody prays to a god other than the king in 30 days, they're going to be guilty. Man, if all you were guilty of is praying, boy, I'll tell you what, that Julie, man, she sure is a prayer. I wish she wouldn't pray so much. But do you see? Okay, so the king signed a decree. Whatever the king said became law. It could not be changed. Now, verse 9, Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10, now this is key. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he had a pity party. He invited his friends over and they just cried over a cupcake. No. Notice, as soon as he knew. See, he was a government official. He knew when a law became or took effect. He had that knowledge. And as soon as he knew that it was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. Everybody say three times a day. And prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Daniel did this as a habit. He just didn't spend three times a day in prayer when he needed to. Otherwise, they would not have come up with this cockamamie plan to accuse him. They must have known that Daniel prayed three times a day. He must have had a habit of prayer, a lifestyle of prayer. He must have took time to stop, drop, and pray regularly. I mean, if a doctor says take the medicine three times a day, can't we at least pray three times a day? So, verse 11. These men assembled and found Daniel praying. They probably gathered outside of his house. Because this was something that he regularly did. They found him praying and making supplication before God. Walked over to Elliot one day and just found him praying. Imagine if the devil comes to your house and he knocks on your door and you have a sign, sorry, in prayer, can't come right now. Oh, wrong house. Nobody raise your hand. Just ask yourself, how many times a day do you pray? That's why I said don't raise your hands. What's your habit of prayer? Do you pray with your family? Do you pray with your spouse? It doesn't have to be an hour. Just take a little time each day if you can. Now, sometimes the schedule is different, right? So you got to adjust your prayer time to your schedule. Isn't it beautiful? God gives everybody 24 hours. We all have the same amount of time given to us, but what we do with that time makes a difference. So they went before the king, and they said unto the king, verse 15, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually. Everybody say continually. Continually. Don't stop serving the Lord, no matter what. If you feel like you've been cold or dry, stoke up the fire and drink from the living water. Quench that. Amen? You have to stir yourself up. I wish I could stir everybody up, but I can only stir up one person, and that is me. I've got to stir myself up. When you're having a bad day, when things are rough, stop, drop, and pray. Magnify God. Call upon the name of the Lord, and he can start to change that situation. But if you try to do it without praying, it's going to get messed up even more. And I'm almost done. So they threw Daniel into the lion's den. A true person of prayer will not compromise truth, but he stands for the truth without wavering. I don't care if there's a law that says I cannot preach, I will preach the next day. That's how you got to be. You've got to refuse to compromise. The world puts pressure on you to compromise, to give in, to lower your standard. Don't lower your standard. Even if there's a penalty of death. Death to me is graduation. When this body dies, I'm going to step out and say, well, that was easy, and I'm going to be with the Lord forever. So death has no sting on me. So the devil can't scare me with death, because I've already died. I've died, and the life that I now live is by the faith of the Son of God. Prayer will give you success, and the enemy will target your prayers and praying. He'll try to distract you. He will do things to try to stop you to pray. He does not want you to pray. If prayer wasn't so powerful, why does he work so hard to get you not to pray? Huh? Prayer does not cease, quit, or give up no matter what. Isn't that what Daniel did? He prayed anyway. So we know the story. He was thrown into the lion's den, right? Hungry lions thought they were going to have a meal, but God had other plans, because they threw a man who knew how to pray into lions. And what did he do? He slept on a lion pillow, on a lion rug. And I'm not lying to you. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. And let's see here. Verse 20 or 19, the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Verse 21, then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. See, when you're a person of prayer, you'll get heaven's help. God sent an angel, and that angel just said, nice kitty, kitty. And those lions just went, those lions were, I think those lions purred Daniel to sleep. They purred him a lullaby. And verse 23, the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Say, he believed in his God.
He believed in his God.
When you believe in your God, no manner of hurt will come upon you either. It all stems from his heart, right? And the king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came at the bottom of the den. Wow. Does prayer make a difference? Prayer provided protection. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. See, when you don't compromise in your praying, you could change a nation. And I think that we've missed the mark in prayer, which is why our nation is where it is now. I think we've compromised in our praying. I think we've kind of let up in our praying. Amen? We don't spend the time in prayer over our country like we should. You know, November is another time to vote. Before you vote, you better pray. You better ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Ask the Lord to reveal secrets that are unknown to people. He'll show you. Amen? He'll help you make. We need to get people who are of integrity and character in positions of authority. And it's not going to happen. We got to do two things. We've got to pray and we've got to vote. Amen? We have a privilege in this country to vote, and we ought to take that privilege and do it. So, so the king said that everybody's going to fear the God of Daniel, and he delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered. Everybody say prospered. Do you think every time he prayed, he prospered? Imagine that. Every time he prayed, he prospered. Did he know how he was going to prosper? No, he just knew God. He called upon the God of heaven, and he prospered. In the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. So he was Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus. He prospered over, well, four actually, because Belshazzar, who was king, who was Nebuchadnezzar's son, I believe. So for four different kings. So who was in charge didn't determine how he prospered. See, when you know your God, it doesn't matter where you are. You can prosper because you know your God. You have a relationship with him. It's so important. And, you know, later on, when Daniel prayed about some other things, the angel came and said, you are beloved by God. God spoke of Daniel that he was beloved by him. What can we learn from the life of Daniel and how he prayed? Every situation that he was in, He prayed about. He sought the God. He honored God. He had a right heart. Those are so important things to getting your results. Did he get results? Yeah. He got delivered from lions. He got promoted. He overcame opposition. You know, he had success. And he started off as a captive. Not too bad for a captive. Amen? Now, you and I have the same opportunity and ability to pray like Daniel prayed. And I want to encourage you to be people of prayer, to stop, drop, and pray, and call upon the God of heaven and allow him to change circumstances in your life. Allow him to change things. And he will. He wants to. Do you realize that he is just waiting in heaven? He's listening to hear his word so that he can perform it. And when someone speaks his word, he says, I'm going to perform it right there. So be the one that God performs his word for by simply speaking his word back to him. Amen? Did you learn some things about prayer today? I want you to, everybody stand up, please. Hallelujah. You know, prayer is something that we all can do. Prayer doesn't require a whole lot of physical strength. If you've got the ability to speak, you've got the ability to pray. Amen? And your prayer can change things. But the most important thing is that you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know him as Lord and Savior. And if you're not, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord, you've never accepted him into your heart, you've never confessed him as Lord in your life, I want to give you that opportunity. Amen? That opens the doors for you to get to know God, to walk with him, to live with him, and for him to show you things, show you truths of heaven. If you're here and you need to be born again, I'd love to introduce you to my best friend, my Savior, my Lord, my King. Amen, my God. Or if you're here, maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Maybe you need the power to live a godly life, a Christian life. God gives us the power in the form of the Holy Spirit. He gives us our own personal power generator. Amen. And the only qualification to get filled with the Holy Spirit is to be born again. I mean, when you're born again, you have the Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an immersion in power. Amen? And like last week, is there anyone that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Want to lay hands on you and pray? Maybe you're here and maybe you've known the Lord, but maybe you've gotten away from the Lord. Maybe you've kind of drifted away and kind of got by yourself and you're not as close to the Lord as you need to be. Maybe you just need to come back home. I want to give you an opportunity to come back home today. Amen? If that's you, and if not, if none of those apply to you, maybe there's something in your life that you need to pray about. You need to take the initiative like Daniel took, and you need to pray. You need to call upon God, and I just want to open up this altar for you to call upon God, amen? He'll listen to you. He'll do what you ask him to do. Why? Because he loves you, amen? So I just want to open up the altar for you to come up and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for burning this message into our hearts. Lord, bring us into all truth regarding prayer and how to pray and how to get results for what we pray for. And Lord, I just thank you for the help of your Holy Spirit, for the power of your word. Right now, Lord, just move the waters in Jesus' name. And if you just want to come up here and you just pray, amen, I would encourage you to do that. If there's something that you're facing, that you're dealing with, you come up and you pray, amen. And the Lord will help you just like he helped Daniel. There's no respecter of persons. God loves you just as much as he loves Daniel. So I just want to open up the altar for you to come up and pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You just pray until you pray through. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you don't need to come up here, that's fine. I just want to say you're dismissed. But if you need to come on up, just come on up and pray. Amen.